when the Lord gave the feasts in Leviticus 23, they were for more than just the Israelites to observe at that time. While we are not commanded to keep the feasts and celebrating them is not necessary for salvation, during our next Facebook Live event, Dr. William R. Glaze will show how understanding the feasts will give us a deeper appreciation for this great salvation we have in Jesus Christ, and how the work of Christ is deeply rooted in these Old Testament celebrations. Tune in to Anchored in Jesus Facebook Live event Tuesday, September 18th at 7:30 p.m. You will have an opportunity to ask questions about Dr. Glaze's series, The Feasts of Israel. Looking forward to seeing you at facebook.com/ Anchored in Jesus Ministries. Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today we will continue our series titled The Feasts of Israel with the first half of the Feast of First Fruits. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of the Feast of First Fruits.
All right. We've been in a series culminating this week and the upcoming weeks on the Feast of the Lord. We've been talking about the Feast of the Lord. We started way back in the fall, and we dealt with the Feast of Trumpets. And actually this year in 2015, it's going to come on September 14th, and that Christological significance is the return of Christ. Back last fall, we looked at the Day of Atonement, and that is Yom Kippur, which is the atonement for sin. And then we looked at the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles, Sukkot, which represents the millennium. Now we are in the Spring Feast of Israel. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been getting excited. Just seeing this, how this, all this is coming together. This is some powerful stuff. Now, remember, Jesus said that no man takes my life, but I lay it down and I take it up. And these feasts are directly related to what Christ did. Last Sunday, we looked at the Passover, and that dealt with the crucifixion of Christ, and that represents our justification. On Thursday night, if you were here, we looked at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and that represents the burial of Christ, our sanctification. This morning, we are going to look at the first fruits, and that symbolizes the resurrection or the glorification of Christ. If you go on to that next slide. Now, I thought this was interesting, so I put this together because I really want us to understand this, all right? Because if you don't get this, you know, you kind of miss even what Easter is all about, all right? You miss what Easter is about, and like I said last week, it's all about resurrection. Now, look at when Jesus said, nobody takes my life, but I lay it down, I take it up. Last Sunday, which would have represented Palm Sunday, Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. You know what they did on that Sunday? They selected the lambs for Passover. Then Jesus celebrated the Last Supper. And it was at the Last Supper that he actually ate the Passover with his disciples, that they were observing the Passover. You remember the Passover is when God brought the people out of Egypt. And he said that he would spare the firstborn if they put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. And that represents the Passover. So Jesus ate the Last Supper, which was the Passover, with his disciples. When Jesus was crucified, at the same time, they were killing the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb was killed that afternoon. And later on, Jesus was buried. And that was the first day of unleavened bread, which represents the burial of Jesus Christ. Then this morning, we look at the Feast of First Fruits. And this is actually when Jesus rises from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits. If you go to that next one. As we've been looking at these feasts, we've been observing the word holy. What does it honor? How is it observed? What lessons can we learn? And then how does it point to Jesus? Honor. The Feast of First Fruits. What does it honor? Well, in obedience to the Lord's command, the Israelites offered the first and the best of their harvest to him. This is known as the Feast of First Fruits. This feast was also a memorial in recognition of God's deliverance of the children of Israel out of Egypt, bringing them into the land flowing with milk and honey. So they celebrated this feast because the Lord commanded it. And I keep saying something, and I hope that we're grabbing a hold of what I'm saying, and that is this, that Israel celebrated these feasts, but these are called the Lord's feasts. And when we look at how it's timed up with the life of Christ, the last week of Jesus Christ, it helps us to understand that when it says that these are the Lord's feasts, that they go far beyond what the Israelites celebrated, and they have significance for us as New Testament individuals. And so we see that God commanded them that they celebrated the Feast of First Fruits. And this was also done in recognition of the fact that God brought them out of Egypt and brought them into a land flowing with milk and honey. How is it observed? If you look in your notes, we see that it is the period. Now, like a lot of the other feasts, we are told that it was to be celebrated on this day of Nisan or that day of Nisan. The Bible really doesn't give an exact date of the first Feast of First Fruits and when it was to be observed. But it did say that the priest was to wave the sheaf of the first fruit on the day after the Sabbath. So that lets us know that it was actually on the third day after Passover. So Jesus was actually risen from the dead on that day of first fruits when the priest went and waved the first fruit unto the Lord. What is the purpose of the feast? It was a thanksgiving to the Lord for hearing their cries in Egypt and delivering them from their affliction, labor and oppression, and bringing them to a land flowing with milk and honey. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 1 through 10. And how did they practice this feast? What were some of the things that they did? The children of Israel were to bring a sheaf of the first fruit to the priest, and he was to wave it before the Lord. So they brought their first crop, a sample of their first crop, to the priest, and the priest would wave it to the Lord, and this guaranteed that the harvest, amen, and the farmer would be accepted. They were to bring a lamb, a grain and drink offering to the Lord, and they were not to eat bread or corn on that day that they made their offering. Now, what lessons can we learn from this feast? What lessons can we learn? The first lesson that we learn is a lesson in resurrection. In the winter months, the ground dies, but in the spring, it is resurrected back to life. Many of you who are gardeners, whether you plant vegetables or whether you plant flowers, you realize that you can't go out in January and plant anything. Why? Because the ground is dead. But what happens in the spring? The spring comes back to life. The ground comes back to life. And that is symbolic of the fact that the ground has experienced a what? A resurrection. And the priest was to take the first sheep from what? The resurrected ground, and wave it before the Lord, and that was a guarantee, again, that the entire harvest would be accepted. Now, I'm going somewhere with this first fruit. Y'all stay with me now. Y'all stay with me. I'm going somewhere with this first fruit, all right? So notice, don't miss it, that the ground came back to life. It yielded a crop, They went and took the best crop, took it to the priest. The priest waved it to the Lord as a sign of resurrection, new life that was given. Now, there's also another lesson, and that is this. It's a lesson in giving. Look at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. There's a lesson in giving. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. He says here, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the what? The first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, I'm going to get off my message for a second here. I just thought I'd slip this one in. All right, I'm getting off. I'm going to get back on point in a second with the resurrection. But you'll notice here that it says, if you want to be blessed, if you want your home to be blessed, if you want your substance to be blessed, now, I'm just saying. What was the first fruit? The first fruit was the first and the best. He says here that if you want your home blessed, you know, people will ask me when they move into a new home if I'll come and bless their home, and I'll come and bless it. No problem. I'll come and bless your home, and we'll read some scripture and anoint your home and all that. But if you really want your home blessed, if you really want your home blessed, he says here, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit, the first and the best of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, you know, I think that there's even a principle in this, even beyond financially, all right? That if you offer the Lord the first fruit of your day, the first and the best. But see, the problem is that many of us, we give him leftovers. We give him, after we have served the boss man, after we have watched all the television that we want to watch, after we have talked on the phone and text and emailed all that we wanted to, then we offer the Lord what's left over. And in the book of Malachi, he said, bring those things to your governor. Bring these beat up and deformed sheep to your governor and see if he will accept those. No, that's not going to work in the economy of the United States of America. As a matter of fact, America, the government, the IRS, gets theirs right off the top. So you already given first fruits. You give first fruits every time you get a paycheck. Just look at your paycheck and look on the line where it says state and federal. That's first fruits, and they get it. So we get a little something-something left over. And out of a little something-something left over, we ought to, the government that already took that, why don't we offer the Lord? And then he said that he will bless the rest. That if we will honor him with the first fruits, not only of our finances, but honor him with the first fruit of your day. When are you the freshest? When are you the most alive? When are you the most in tune? When are you the most connected to God? Give him your best. Don't give him your leftovers. So I wanted to put that in there. First fruits. Now we're going to get to the message. Now we're going to get. So we understand. Everybody understands what first fruits is, right? We all, there's no misunderstanding as to what first fruits are. First fruits, it was a feast, and it was celebrated 3 days after Passover, the day that Jesus rose from the dead, and it was the Israelites were to come, and they were to give their first and their best unto the Lord. All right, so now, how does this point to Jesus Christ? Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. That was my introduction. Jesus' resurrection represents the first fruits of the Christian faith. Like, if you look at your notes now, like the sheaf that was taken from the ground which was once dead, and waved before the Lord, Jesus rose from the dead and was resurrected unto life. Jesus was crucified the same day as the Passover lamb. He was buried on the same day as unleavened bread, and he rose from the dead on the celebration of first fruits. Now, we see that there are people who say that there is no resurrection. And Paul addresses that in 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 12. He says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we also are false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he was raised, that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if Christ be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and you are yet in your sins. Then they also who are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now, Christ is risen from the dead. Woo! And become what? The first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. For every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Back in Jesus' day, there was a group of people called the Sadducees, and they did not believe in a resurrection. Now, when we say resurrection, a lot of times we think only of Jesus. But in the New Testament, when they spoke of resurrection, they were actually talking about the body rising again. And so there were people that believed that when you died, that was it. As a matter of fact, there are groups today that are among us that believe when a person dies and their body goes into the ground, that their soul is annihilated, they cease to exist, and their body just rots in the grave. And Paul realized that this was the attitude. And so now Paul begins to address this question. And the first thing he says, if there is no resurrection, then Christ is not risen. Again, Sadducees. The body does not rise from the dead. It stays in the ground and it decays. Well, if the body stays in the ground and it decays, then Christ is still in the ground, decaying. Paul says in verse 12, now if it be that he rose, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And so we look at the fact that there is solid proof that Jesus rose from the dead. Muslim and a Christian were in a debate one day. The Muslim mocked the Christian and said, you celebrate a leader, a founder, who you don't know where his body is at. We celebrate our founder, Muhammad. We know where his tomb is. We know where his body is. And the Christian said, and there, my friend, is the difference. You know where the body of your founder is, but the body of our founder is not in the grave. He is not here. He is risen. Come see the place where he lay. Not come see the place where he's laying, but come see the place where he lays. If Christ be not risen, if there is no resurrection, then Christ is still in the tomb. And I remember a song back in the 70s. It said, if God is dead, who's listening and who's answering prayers? If God is dead, and I like this part right here, who can tell me where his body lies? If he's dead, somebody show me the place where his body is. And that is the power of the Christian faith, is the empty tomb. And as we come today, we rejoice not because there's a body in the tomb, but because the tomb is empty. Praise God for the empty tomb. Amen. If there is no resurrection, in verse 14, if there is no resurrection, then all preaching is in vain. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith also is vain. So y'all might as well just go on home. I'm just up here, as James Brown said, that great theologian. Like a dull knife, it just ain't cutting. Talking loud and saying nothing. Talking loud and saying, that's all I'm doing. I'm just up here running my mouth. Really, if Christ is not risen, y'all might just all go home. Now, don't leave all at once. Be respectful. Stay here to the end. And then just walk out and say, man, he was just talking about a bunch of nothing. Right? I mean, that's the truth. If Christ is not, man, just think. I don't know about you, but my whole life is centered around the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I mean, everything about me centers around the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I was standing at the back one Sunday, and the lady came by, and she said, Pastor Glaze, she said, I sure do enjoy your preaching. I sure do enjoy your preaching. She said, but could you say a little bit less about Jesus? That's the message. That's the message right there. He's the center of the message. If I take him out, I don't have anything. You know? I might as well just go ahead and line up some engagements and just be a motivational speaker, right? I can motivate folk. You know, I can motivate you to charge hell with a water pistol, right? I could be a great motivational speaker. But the heart of my message is Jesus Christ. And without him, there's no substance in my message. Without him, all these TV, radio preachers, Tony Evans, David Jeremiah, Chuck Swindoll, Charles Stanley, all these TV preachers, they're just taking people's money and using up airtime. If Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain. If there's no resurrection, then the disciples are false witnesses. Look at verses 15 and 16. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if it be so that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. Now,
thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of the Feast of First Fruits from our series titled The Feast of Israel. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Feast of First Fruits, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Feast of First Fruits. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Feast of First Fruits. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.